Welcome back to Newsworks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. When the Eagles try to improve on last season's success that landed them back in the playoffs after a two-year void, they'll do so without the services of one of their top offensive weapons, wide receiver DeSean Jackson. Let's play ball with Inquirer Sports columnist Mike Sielski. Mike, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Dave.
Mike, the Eagles cut Jackson Friday, just 2 years after the three-time Pro Bowler signed a five-year deal extension calling for him to earn $10.5 million this coming season. Now, those are the facts. The rumors swirling around the circumstances of his release are too numerous to tally. Now, you've been in the locker room. You have access to the Eagles organization. We've read all the reports. Why do you think the Eagles got rid of Jackson?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. The analogy I would draw would be you pile up these pebbles until they tip the scales. And I think it was a lot of things. I think it was a matter of his work ethic, some things off the field that we, you know, that are the basis for some of these rumors. Chip Kelly wanting to establish his own kind of culture within the team. I think Chip's ego in believing that he doesn't necessarily need a player of DeSean's skill set to succeed in the NFL and build a productive offense with the NFL. I think in the media we tend to look for the one thing that is at the genesis of any sort of story like this. And I think in this situation there is no one thing. It really is a group of many, many different reasons.
Like sticking to the salary issue, do the Eagles owe Jackson more paychecks or have they cut the cord with him completely?
They've cut the cord with him completely. It will cost them about $6 million in salary cap space based on the structure of his contract and cutting him at this point in the offseason. But they have gone full punches pilot on him. They've washed their hands of him at this point.
Mike, Eagles fans are notoriously tough, and all they want is a winner. Did the decision and the aspect of it that brought in gang-related activities, was that designed to soften the blow, as it were, for Eagles fans?
The gang issue was brought up in an article on NJ.com. Now, to my knowledge, the Eagles did not leak that information to NJ.com. That information had been out there in rumors for a while, and NJ.com, through independent reporting, was able to kind of buttress those rumors. To my knowledge, the Eagles did not leak that information, whether they minded it coming out and whether once that story came out, they said to themselves, well, now that this information is public, we're not going to be able to trade him and get anything in return for him, so we might as well cut him. That's a different story. But again, to my knowledge, the Eagles did not necessarily leak that information out there so that they would kind of color people's perspectives on DeSean Jackson.
And let's note it was only allegation because the Los Angeles authorities refuted it.
That's right. That's 100% accurate.
Looking relatively recently in the Eagles' past, is there an analogy to be made with the T.O. experiment?
There is from this standpoint. When Andy Reid first came on as the Eagles coach back in 1999, he was very much a proponent of quote-unquote building through character. That is, you get a B-plus or A-minus football player if he's an A or an A-plus person, and you win with players like that. The Eagles, I think, at the time, you could say this, and certainly in retrospect, broke from that formula when they acquired Terrell Owens, when they traded for him, saying, well, he's an A-plus football player, but he's not necessarily an A-plus person, and it led to dissension within the locker room, teammates divided, and just chaos. I think there's a similarity there with respect to Jackson. You had well-respected players within the locker room last year who are not going to be there this year, guys like Michael Vick and the way he had kind of remade and rehabilitated himself. Wide receiver Jason Avant was a very respected player in the locker room as well, and without those kinds of guys there now, the prospect of bringing Jackson back at that price tag and having him be at the forefront of the Eagles' quote-unquote leadership in the locker room was a chance that Kelly wasn't willing to take.
So with more of the onus on Kelly, I'm curious, with Avant and Vic out, who will fill that leadership mantle for the Eagles?
Well, I think you look at a guy like Nick Foles, a quarterback. I think you look at someone like a Darren Sproles, who the Eagles acquired this offseason in a trade for the Saints. I think you look to players along the offensive line, guys like Jason Peters, guys like Jason Kelce, players like that. I think Kelly is trying to kind of cultivate this sort of culture where everybody buys into what he's selling. You're there on time. You stick to the diet plan and restrictions that Chip implemented last season. Everybody's on board. And if you're not on board, at this stage, Kelly has the power and the cachet to weed you out, and I think that's what's happening here with Jackson.
There is speculation about Jackson staying in our division, specifically to the Redskins. What kind of fit would that be?
Be an interesting one. The two teams that so far publicly have been linked to pursuing Jackson have been the Washington Redskins, as you said, and the Oakland Raiders, who are not the NFL's two model franchises. Let's put it that way when it comes to producing winning teams and staying out of the headlines, for all the wrong reasons. So it's going to be an interesting fit. I don't know that the Redskins necessarily have that leadership culture that Kelly seems to be trying to foster with the Eagles. You also have a rookie head coach there in Jay Gruden. You have a quarterback in Robert Griffin III who went through kind of a trying second season last year, got hurt, was facing questions about his relationship with his former head coach, Mike Shanahan, and not to mention the fact that you've got Daniel Snyder, who's not well-regarded among NFL owners. So it has potential to be a combustible situation there with Deshaun as well.
At the onset, you listed a number of variables contributing to the decision to part ways. Mike, what's your sense? Did they ultimately compromise their ability to meet or exceed last year's 10-6 record, or are they likely to do even better because of it?
I think they can meet last year's record. I just think they're going to have to go about it differently. It's interesting I'm writing a column about this right now because the dynamic of their offense is going to change. They may end up relying more on their running backs, LeSean McCoy and Darryl Sproles. They may end up relying more on their three tight ends that they have within the offensive system, Zach Ertz, Brent Celek, James Casey. They're certainly going to have to draft a wide receiver, but they're in luck because this year's draft class is very talented and deep at the wide receiver position. So they're going to look a little different, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility given that these players will have an extra year of immersion in Chip's offense and his system to learn it, that they could equal or even surpass what they did last season.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Dave.
Philadelphia Inquirer sports columnist Mike Sielski on Newsworks Tonight.